I've got the picture up on the choir. I don't know if it'll come up on the side screens. But for you guys that are in front, while I was on vacation, we had palm trees. Of course, the area where I went on vacation has been hit with a hurricane 2 out of 3 years. And the area has been hit pretty hard. And palm trees are some of the strongest, most enduring trees when they go through a storm. But even they can be uprooted. Even they, their leaves will be torn completely off. They'll do everything they can to stand, but they can be completely uprooted. And sometimes you'll see trees that even get transported. It may be that God is moving you from one church to Bethel. Maybe he's putting you in a new place or a new career. And maybe some of these trees are even being transported. But these trees, if you could see them, these trees have braces around them. There are supports around them. And in every single one of them, there are three supports. These are trees that represent victory. All over the Word of God, palm trees always represent victory. And you and I this morning, as we try to flourish like a palm tree and have victory, there are times that we are weak in the flesh, we are weak in faith, we get decimated by a storm, we get hit hard by conditions, and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost is there to extend support to us and to brace us and to encourage us and hold us in place. There's also three specific scriptures. I won't have time to preach that today. There are three other things in your life. There is the covenant, which is the Word of God. There is the Comforter, which is the Spirit of God. And there is the church. The Bible says support the weak. The word weak is the word asthenos. It's where we get our word anesthesia from it. It means physical weakness, sickness, or debilitation. It means a time of weakness in the faith or the flesh. The Bible says that we are to support the weak. What does the word support mean? It means to uphold. It means to embrace. Think about your child when they first learn how to ride a bicycle. I think about when I first learned myself, and my daddy would hold that bicycle and I'd say, "Hold it steady, Daddy. Hold it steady." And it was he hold it steady, then he'd let it go and I'd go down the hill and he'd start running beside me so that I didn't have a bad crash. And so we need some support. We need some steadiness in our lives. The Bible says about Job, he strengthened the weak hands. The Bible says about Paul that how so laboring that you ought to support the weak. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee that he may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee," that's support, "that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." We have a job to do as a church. It is to support the weak. Those that can't support themselves. Those that can't fend for themselves. Those that have a disadvantage. I dare say this morning, there are people that are going through depression, people that are going through discouragement, people that are being battered by things going on. I began to think as I studied while we were on vacation, I began to think about the book of Luke chapter 10. And the Bible begins to speak to us in verse 25 about a certain lawyer. And this lawyer has come before the Lord Jesus and said, "Master, what must I do that I might inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "What's written in the law? How readest thou?" And the lawyer said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And Jesus said to him, said, "You've answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." But the lawyer, willing to justify himself, that means to vindicate himself or to acquit himself, and said, "And who is my neighbor?" Now the Lord Jesus Christ begins to give us a dissertation or a parable on the Good Samaritan. And in verse 36 of this chapter, after the story, the parable, the facts, Jesus said, "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves. This is what Jesus is saying. You're asking the wrong question. You're asking, and who is my neighbor? You need to be asking, whose neighbor are you? I want to ask you a question today. Some of you, you sit here week after week, and you wonder, will the church support me? What will the church do for me? Let me give you a better question. What are you doing to support the church? What are you doing? Who are you supporting as an individual? Is there a neighbor that you're supporting? Who is it this morning that you're taking care of? Who is it that you're embracing? Who is it you're lifting up? Who are you upholding today? This lawyer is a man who's caught up in pride. He's overwhelmed by his selfishness. He's full of himself. He's doing all he can to look good in front of others. He is concerned about his image. He didn't believe that everybody was his neighbor. He believed that he was only neighbor to one or two people, and that was it. He totally missed out on the fact that God has commanded us to support the weak. This morning, who is depending on you for spiritual nourishment? Who is depending on you for spiritual guidance and spiritual direction? Who is depending on you for godly encouragement? Who is it this morning that you are going to carry, you are upholding, you are uplifting? Rather, you come in here to be uplifted. You come in here to be supported. Hey, there's a time and place, support the weak. But for you today that are not weak, what are you doing to help people? What are you doing to encourage someone? I see three things from this passage, three braces to help us support the weak. Number one, when I read this parable in verse 30, there are criminal intentions. Verse 30, Jesus answering said, a certain man, he's probably a Jew, went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among thieves. Now, this strip of road is about 17 miles long. It's going down an elevation of about 36 to 3,700 feet. It's very twisting, very winding. Many dark places, caves and caverns for thieves and robbers to jump in there and hide. And so here, this man is traveling that road when unexpectedly he's attacked. He's robbed of all his possessions. He fell among thieves. They stripped him of his raiment. They wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. As he traveled, here you are on life's journey. And I'm talking to someone today. You've had an unexpected problem. You feel like it's beaten you. It's wounded you. It's stripped you mercilessly. It's beaten you down. You've been left solitary. You're struggling. You are suffering today. I remind you that the thief cometh but for to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief has stolen your joy. The thief has stolen your potential. The thief has stolen your testimony. The thief has stolen your witness. You have been spiritually wounded by discouragement, depression, apathy. You are halfway dead and just barely hanging on. I'm talking to somebody today, you're fooling around with depression. I'm talking to somebody today, you've started considering drinking again. You are contemplating divorce. You have been contemplating death, maybe by suicide. You're discouraged by a diagnosis. You're discouraged by a dilemma. While I was on vacation, and I saw those trees being braced up, God smote my heart. I called some of the family over and their friends. I said, I want y'all to look. What do you see out of this? And they said, I see a palm tree being braced up. Man, God is all over me.
God said, that's your people. That's people you're preaching to. They can't stand on their own. They need to be scotched up, upheld by prayer, by love, by mercy, by grace, by help today. You need to be, I'm calling you and your church to be a help and to be a support system. There's criminal intention that wants to bow down the palm tree, knock them down, cut them down, beat them down, leave them stripped of their leaves and half naked, clinging on any hope they'll survive. Number two, there is careless indifference. Verse 31, there's a man now with problems, beaten up, no help, no hope, a dilemma he can't get out of. He's struggling. He's been brutalized. He's been bloodied. He's laying there naked and half dead. And verse 31 says, and by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Careless indifference. This man, he's a priest. He's a man of God. You would think that he, a man that goes to God on behalf of the people, would care for someone who's wounded, would care for someone who's weak, would care for someone who's been brutalized and victimized. But this priest thought, well, I've got too many at my temple already. I'm already caring for so many people, I cannot possibly care for one more. And so he did not want to get involved. When he saw him discouraged, depressed, stripped and wounded, he passed by on the other side. He left him just like he saw him. He was busy. Yea, I say he was too busy. When he looked on him, when he saw how he was, he chose to look the other way. He chose to pass by on the other side. He decided, I see the need, but I'm avoiding him. Casual avoidance. He's ignoring the problem. The problem is there, but he just passes by and he does nothing about it. I wasn't going to tell this, but one time, some of our church members had family in Indiana that were sick, very sick, had a stroke, paralyzed from it. They asked to be anointed with oil. We just did that this morning, according to the book of James. What we did, scriptural, biblical, godly counsel. It's what we've done this morning. And so they said, we don't know who to ask in Indiana to help us. I got on the phone in the city they were in, Peoria. I called, trying to find people, or in Illinois, I should say, trying to find people up in Illinois to try to help and take care of them. I called one church and they said, we're not trying to help new people. One guy said, I've got too many people already. I don't have time to go visit anybody else, especially people I don't know. Another guy said, I'm getting ready to go play golf. I don't have time. I mean, I went through the phone book and I got depressed and discouraged myself just from calling people. And I stood before this church on a Wednesday night and I said, you know what? I'm just about this close to going myself. And somebody the next morning called me and said, preacher, are you really serious about going up to Illinois to anoint that person? I said, yeah, I think I am. They said, well, good, because I just bought you a ticket. My excuse was gone. Said, the catch is I'm going with you. We jumped on an airplane, flew from Charlotte to Chicago, Illinois, got a rental car, went to Peoria, went down there to anoint them with oil. I laid on the dirty hospital floor on my face, begging God to do something. And not one single thing happened. I anointed him with oil, I went in faith, I prayed the prayer of faith, and nothing happened. And that no good, no count, egg-sucking devil jumped on my shoulder and said, you've wasted your time. You get out of Peoria, Illinois. They don't want you up here in this state. And to be honest with you, they don't want you in Spruce Pine, North Carolina, and they don't want you at Bethel Baptist Church either. Get out and go home. I got in the car, started driving back towards the airport. When my phone rang, do you mind if I answer it? Hello? Preacher Darren, are you sitting down? Yeah. I am, I'm driving. You got your seatbelt on? Yes. Oh, you ain't gonna believe it, but Our patient just started wiggling her toes. Wait a minute. I'm going to have to go. What? Don't hang up. No, I got to go. A group of doctors just walked in. I waited and waited. Phone rang back. Preacher Darren, you got your crash helmet on? She sat up on the side of the bed, put her hands up over her head. She's moving. The paralysis is gone. Amen. You may say it's crazy. And they kicked her out of the hospital, said she was too healthy to be there, and put her in a home to help her do some rehabilitation. And she got out of there real quick. And she came down here on Thanksgiving Sunday, stood up in the back of our church and said, "Hey, church, you may not know who I am, but thank you for letting me borrow your pastor for 1 week to come pray over me, because God still supports the weak." Amen. And she came to this altar to give God praise and to give God thanks. Don't be a priest of religion. Let me tell you something. Religion will pass you by. It cannot help you. It cannot cure you. Honey, if you came here for religion, you're going to leave here empty-handed. Casual avoidance. Read on. Verse 32. "And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side." Here is callous apathy. This Levite, a keeper of the law, an upholder, a man of God with a prestigious pedigree, chosen for godly service. He had a clear perception. He was at that place. He walked up to the site. He got close to this man. And when he saw him, he thought, "I don't want to get involved with such things. I don't want to put my clean hands on him. He might have got hit by the COVID. I don't want to touch him. I don't want to be around him. I don't want any contact." I mean, I want to tell you something. He went to the spot and he thought, "It's no big deal. That's not that serious." You know why? I'm talking to some of you. You have been to the spot. You know why your young people nowadays look at sin and think it's no big deal? Because they've seen it so very much. They've become accustomed to it. It's become the norm. They've been to the spot. They thought, "Let somebody else deal with it. I've seen this before. This is no big deal. I've seen this problem before. It's on the news all the time." And you just keep going. I'm talking about, let me ask you a question. What have you looked at and did nothing about it? What were you made aware of and you didn't say a word about it? You didn't even pray about it. You just thought, "Oh, well, I see this all the time." I mean, think about it for a second. Do you think in the Bible that a man by the name of Lot, do you think he probably, the Bible says he was a just man. He's a church-going fella. Do you think that he may have had a pastor? I've often asked myself, what would I say if I was Lot's pastor? Would I warn him of the danger of Sodom? Gets quiet in here, doesn't it? Would I warn him of the worldly practices and the perversions if I were Lot's pastor? Or would I just look the other way and say, "I wish you well, Lot"? You see, that's what's going on from our pulpits. Keeping the law cannot save you. Keeping the law, keeping religion, they'll pass you by, they'll not support you, they'll not help you. In fact, they'll see you robbed and figure you don't have anything else left to give, and they'll leave you alone. So there's careless indifference. There's criminal intention. Thirdly, there's compassionate involvement. Here we go. Verse 33. "But a certain Samaritan." Now this is a surprising character. The Samaritans and the Jews have no dealings with each other. You think today that there's a big deal over race. Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, and there's all this stuff going on about race. Honey, it was in Jesus' day. There was real division between the Jews and the Gentiles, and even more division between the Jews and the Samaritans, because the Samaritans were half Jews and half Gentiles. They called them half-breeds. And they were social outcasts. And there lays this Jew, beaten to death, wounded and dying, and a Samaritan who he would have had no dealing with. A Samaritan comes across and sees him. Let me tell you something. When someone comes to help you, you don't care what their skin color is. You don't care if they're black, white, yellow, green, purple, or from Mars. You don't care. You see them as help. Honey, when Jesus came my way, I saw him as help. I didn't care whether he was a Jew. It didn't matter to me. I saw him as help. I saw him as the Savior. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. This guy's on a journey. He's got a destination. He has a duty. And he, when he saw that man, he came to where he was. Hey, thank God. I'm glad Jesus came to me. He came where I was and saw me in my destitute, depraved position. There may be people that you see that are weak. Don't pass them by. Smile at them. Pray with them. Pray for them. Encourage them. Give them $20. Do whatever. Try to support the weak. Try to encourage them and be a blessing to them. This was a man of sincere compassion. The Bible says when he saw him, he had compassion on him. You know, people don't need our criticism. They don't need your judgment. Don't be a judgy judger. Don't be an old church lady and throw your nose. What do you mean by an old church lady? An old church lady that throws her nose up at everybody and thinks this is my pew and you get out of it and I'm better than everybody here. You know what I'm talking about. Don't be that old church lady. Amen. Don't be that old church fella running around judging everybody. Learn to see people and take compassion on them. Compassion is love in action. He was committed to help. Look what he did. He went to him and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. I see selfless care. He's looking to soothe his pain. He's looking to cleanse his wounds. He's looking to bring comfort, relief, and healing. The Bible says he set him on his own beast. In other words, he intentionally picked him up and placed him on the beast of burden that maybe the Samaritan was riding himself. And now the Samaritan is walking and the one he's trying to help is riding. I'm telling you, some of you, you need to change positions. You need to get out of the riding business and get into the walking business and help somebody else to ride. Amen? The Bible says that he put him on his own beast, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn. I believe that's a place to sleep. It's a place to heal. It's a place of protection. I'm talking to somebody today. You're in need of relief. Man, I'm telling you, the hounds of hell and the jackals and the hyenas have been after you. And the only reason you came in here today is because it's back to school Sunday. Well, welcome back, Carter. I'm glad you're here. Good to see you. The problem is, now that you come in to have your youngins prayed over, who's really going to be prayed over is you. You're the weak person. You're the one that's destitute and depraved. You're the one in trouble. You're the one battered by the storm. Oh, no, preacher, I'm doing just fine. Honey, I am talking to somebody here this morning. God knows who you are. And you may have made huge, colossal, terrific, tragic mistakes. But failure is not final. Jesus forgives sins. Jesus restores. Jesus replenishes. Jesus lifts up. Jesus brings healing and help. When he brings you to the inn, welcome to the comfort inn today. This is the inn. It's not Burger King. You're not here to have it your own way. But you've come to a place of help and a place of rest and a place of protection. Will you help me this morning? Make sure that this does not become a place of hurt. make sure that this doesn't become a place of criticism, a place of judgment, a place that says, you can't do that. Honest, a lot of our churches, we need to put on the sign, this is the church of you can't do it. I'm telling you, honey, Jesus can do it, he will do it, and he wants to do it. This needs to be the church of the can't help it. We just can't help it. God just made us this way. And he's loving us, restoring us, and nursing us back to health. Bless his holy name. Now, we need to make sure this is a good place. Verse 35. On the morrow, what does that mean, on the morrow? That means the next day. So evidently, the Good Samaritan not only came where he was, bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine, put him on his own beast, but he also spent the evening with him. Right? Because tomorrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence. 1 pence is a day's wage. 2 pence would be 2 days' wages. He says, he gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, you ought to underline that. The Good Samaritan's coming again. When I come again, I will repay thee. What about that? So it's whatever you do, innkeepers, Bethel Baptist Church, whatever you do, when you make good decisions to support the weak, God said, I'll restore it to you. You give, I'll give back to you, and I won't be outgiven. You support the weak, I'll support you. Woo! I mean, how much support do we have when God says, I'll support you as you support the weak? Now, I'm telling you what, that just excites me. God said he's going to take care of it. Now, verse 36, which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Verse 37. He said, he that showed mercy on him. You see, that lawyer wouldn't even name him a good Samaritan. You see, he had ought and angst and criticism and judgment for Samaritans. They were not his neighbors. He hated them. What about that? He said, I guess he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. You know what we're supposed to do as a church? We're supposed to, that palm tree was braced up. We're supposed to support the weak. We're not here for everybody to support us. We're here to support others. See, we've got this thing backwards. A lot of times the tail wags the dog. What would you do if you went home today and you saw your dog's tail still and its whole body was like this and the tail was wagging the dog? It'd be like, there's something wrong with that dog. That's what's wrong with our churches. The tail's wagging the dog. We've got this thing backwards. We're not here to be supported. We're here to support the weak. I'm done, okay? There's a young man, his brother was very wealthy. And he went and bought his brother a brand new car. Hallelujah. Shiny, just exactly what he wanted. A beautiful sports car, and he gave it to his brother for Christmas, and it was Christmas Eve, and the brother was so excited, he said, I'm not going to put it in the garage, I'm going to take it to work, I'm going to show it off. He went to work, put it in the parking lot, everybody was out to look at it at lunchtime. He worked the rest of the afternoon. When he came back to his car, there was a little street kid looking at it. He thought, uh-oh, he may be trying to steal the wheels off of it. What's he doing? And he said, mister, is that your car? He said, it is. Man, that's nice. I like it. It's the most beautiful car I've ever seen. He said, well, thank you. He said, to be honest with you, my brother gave it to me. He said, what? He said, I didn't have to pay a dime. My brother just gave me this car. Wow, I wish. Oh, mister, I wish. Oh, I wish so bad. He said, I wish I could give a car to my brother. Not what you thought, was it? He said, what? He said, can I go for a ride in your car? He said, well, sure. Where do you live? I'll take you home. Oh, would you take me home? Yeah. Jumped in the car with him. Man, he went through the streets, shifting through them gears. You could hear them four-barrel exhaust. I love a nice car. I love that. Love that sound. It still thrills me. I'm 55. That's the speed limit. I'm not over yet. Amen? So, he got there to his house. He said, can you wait here for just a minute? He said, well, sure. He said, I want my brother to see this car. And the boy, he jumped out. He ran up the porch. He opened the door. He went up the steps. He got his brother, who was crippled, and put him on his back and brought him down the steps, across the porch, and outside the car. And he said, look at this car, brother. Look at this car. He said, I've been telling you. He said, guess what? That man's brother gave him this car. And I've been telling you, I want to do something for you one day. I want you to have a car like that, and I want to be the one to give it to you. Amen. Support the weak. Amen. What would be wrong with someone having something better than what you got? Amen. I want my children to have better than I got. Why wouldn't I want God to have better in my life? Why wouldn't I want others to have better around me? I want to strengthen them and make them better and stronger. And if I support them, those supports, look how low they are, but look how high that tree is. Oh, I wish you could see it. You got to see it after church. Look how high that tree is. They're uplifting, lifting one up to higher than where they are. That's what we've got to do. We've got to lift others up higher than we are, that they might flourish for the cause of Christ. You stand to your feet. That's just a little thought God laid on my heart. I'm sorry the screens didn't work where you could see it today. Maybe there might be somebody here saying, God, I've been looking at this wrong. Lord, I want to support the weak. I need to support the weak. And God put it in my heart, and God enable me. Lord, help me to be like that boy says, I want to do something for my brother. I want to be a blessing to my sister. I want to be a help to my children. I want to be a help to my friends. I want to be a help to a stranger. I want to encourage them and help them. Maybe today you might say, preacher, I'm the one that's weak, and I want to come for prayer. Preacher, I've been through such a storm. It's been such a battle. I don't know, preacher, what I'm going to do. Would you come this morning? I want to pray over you. I'm waiting on you. Would you come? Who is it? Come on. Folks are still coming. We're waiting. Still coming. Preacher, pray for me. I need it this morning. I need this prayer. Would you come? Folks are still coming. Right now, come on. He spoke to your heart. Would you come? I believe he wants to help you today. God bless you. Folks are still coming. Anybody else as we pause? This morning, Father, as we bow in your presence, Lord, I realize that my support of those that are weak will probably still leave them weak. My support is feeble. And it's poor. But God, if you would energize by the power of the Holy Ghost my feeble efforts, and God, you would use us to be a support, a strength, a help, a prayer warrior, an encourager, a comforter. Lord, would you help us, God? I pray this morning, Lord, not to be a tear downer or a judger or a criticizer or an accuser, but help us, God, that we might learn to be a support and a help, consistent and dependable through the storms, through whatever comes. Lord, I pray this morning, God, for someone who's weak, someone who's feeble, someone who's inept, that God, you would strengthen them by the covenant of the Word of God, You would strengthen them by the comforter of the Holy Ghost, and you would strengthen them by the power that you've given to the church, which is the pillar and the ground of truth. Lord, I ask you this morning, God, would you touch us? Would you help us? God, that we might be strong. The Bible says that when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Lord, when we were weak, when we could not save ourselves, when the enemy had left us destitute and depraved, leaving us half dead, Jesus came to me and lifted me up and poured his blood out that I might be saved, secured, and spared. I give you glory and honor for what Jesus has done. Lord, I love you and I praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now as y'all stand this morning from the altar, I want you to look at that palm tree. And look, that's you. And look, some of you are the braces. Some of you are the supports. Be that support and lift up and support the weak. I believe that's what God would have us to do. And don't be jealous. No, 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 no. You know what happens when you're jealous? That means you're despising the blessing that God has given someone else. And I promise you, if you despise what God has given someone else, he's not going to give you nothing. You want to be blessed? Be an encourager. And don't be jealous. Watch what God will do.